are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
All right. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Radiant Culture. I'm your host, Cookie Monster.
And this is The Biscuit.
Yeah. And today we have a very, very, very exciting topic that we are talking about. Something that I think affects everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. If it doesn't affect you, you literally are a very strange person.
Yeah.
You're not in any way influenced by this. No judgment, though. We don't judge people here.
Yeah. You're weird if you're not affected by this. And today we're talking about music, and our topic is, whose music is it anyway? And to help us delve into this topic, we have three gentlemen who are all very actively involved on the music scene and who are influential in the music world in their own rights. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell us what they do.
Hi, I'm Tembalami. I'm just... can I say something about the names? Biscuit and Cookie.
Cookie Monster.
What is going on here, guys?
Okay. My name is Tembalami.
We can give you a name also.
I'm an inspirational gospel artist. That's how I describe myself. Uh-huh. And I'm excited to be here.
Cool.
Okay, my name is Tinashe Nyamkapa. Some know me as Big T.
Yes.
A lot of people know me as Big T. But I'm a gospel artist. You're a cookie. So I'm a gospel artist. I teach music as well, and I'm also a consultant in the music industry.
Cool, man.
My name is Tremi Amsipa, and I'm a producer.
Awesome.
Father of one.
Yeah. Father of one.
Yes. Sarah, I'm sure when she grows up one day she will listen to this.
And husband of one.
Yes, husband of one, of
okay.
course. Yeah. Yes. Shout out to Ray.
Okay, I guess you guys have no
idea. Pastor. No other nations here.
No, all right. Married.
Cool. Gentlemen. So, okay, we want to talk about this because it's very, I think it's very important for us to actually understand what's going on in music, especially right now, because, you know, music is very influential, and I think more so now. We're seeing culture being shaped by music. We're seeing even church, right? The way church music is done is evolving and stuff. So I think I wanna go for the jugular, right? Music. Is there such a thing as God's music and the devil's music? Or is music just music?
Anyone
I'll
can go.
I'll go for that, right? I think God created music the same way. I think if we refer to John 1 verse 1. It speaks about the beginning being the Word and the Word being God, and everything that was made was made by Him. So we have already established that God made everything. However, God made pedophiles, but as they practice their pedophilia, God does not necessarily promote that. So I think all music was created by God, but not all music is accomplishing the means or the things that God is interested in. I can give an example of the devil, who we know from Isaiah, when he was cast out from heaven. He was cast out as a minister of musician. We all know that, of music. We all know that. So even though he started off doing God's music, but eventually something happened to his music so that it wasn't God's music anymore. So I think all music was created by God, but not all music is God's music.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I agree with Trey. What Tremé is saying.
Uh-huh.
So when we look at the devil in Isaiah, it says he was created with tabrets and harps and whatever in him, which means that it is God who created that music. So I would say music was given to us as a gift by God. The devil himself did not create any music. Rather, he has influenced it as he can influence anything. Like, he can influence nature, he can influence dressing, he can influence anything. Okay. So that would be my perspective, to say music is a gift from God.
A gift from
God. God, he's the one who started with music.
All right. Temba, you want to say something?
Yeah, I do agree that music is from God, but then I don't specifically look at music only, because that's not God's only creation. If we're going to talk about things created by God, let's just talk about everything. God created accountants, he created butchers, he created car manufacturers and everything. So when I look at music, music to me is a pencil. That's the example I give. It's up to you to use it. A pencil is a good gift, yes? And that's music to us. It's God's gift to us. But it's up to us whether we use that pencil to draw something offensive or something good. So sometimes it can be a song. What I struggle with sometimes is a hard line that says, this is God's music and this is the devil's music. Because there are certain things, there are certain things, certain songs that we make to tell a story. Like, if I want to explain to you that 1 + 1 = 2, I can put it in a song for you to remember it easily.
Uh-huh.
It does not necessarily worship God. It does not necessarily worship the devil. It's just doing the 1 + 1. So there are things that edify men that we can do with music. So I'm not really praising God with it. It's like a car. A car can be used to drive people and throw them off a cliff, or you can take people from point A to point B. So music to me is an instrument. What you do with it is what determines what the intent that you have when you're making that music is what determines what it is.
Okay. Okay. All right. So so what are we saying here? What would you guys categorize as being God's music?
For me, I guess as we go on, I'll really refer to where I disagree, not necessarily disagree with Temba, but where the line is for me, which is, I think as we go on, we'll get to there. I'm still trying to establish where he's coming from, but I think I'm seeing him a bit better. For me, like I said from the beginning, God created music. So all music, when it was created, was God's music. Then the devil came, who is the enemy here on earth. Then nothing else exists outside those two forces. If it were to start, there's black and white, and these two are fighting. Everything else that's fighting in front here is just being powered by black and white at the back there. So, like, we do not see into the spirit as we sit here, but there actually is a bigger realm that exists here, which is in the spirit, where once we are dead, we're all going to be judged, measured by how things were really in the reality of the spirit. It doesn't matter how deceived you are. If you think this is yellow, the truth of the matter is that this color is what it is.
Yeah.
So on the day of judgment, everything will be as it is. Point I'm trying to make, it sounds like an extremist point of view. I posted a post on Facebook recently, and I was interested by people's responses to it. Because people are refusing, that's what I felt, are refusing to agree with the fact that, which is what I believe is a fact, there's God and there's Satan. These two are fighting. God does not necessarily mean church.
All right.
I actually think God is so distant from church, it's insane. God means me and my wife tonight. As I speak to my wife, God wants us to raise a family, because without that family, Sarah would go to hell, literally. She needs that family to teach her the values that guide her to heaven. That's probably more important than what we do at church.
Right.
In church. So when I'm talking about God's music and the things of God, I'm not referring to the things of church. I'm not referring to holy. Holy is actually me sitting with Sarah and saying to you, listen, don't watch Vampirina. Now that is holiness, pure holiness, number one. Actually, strangely for me, that post began from cartoons, because I stopped my daughter from watching certain cartoons. Now she calls me to ask me, Papa, should I watch that? Then I'll watch it with her.
And then at the end, I'll bring my judgment as the judge. Precisely. To my daughter, I really am that. And God put me in your life to be exactly that, right. The righteous judge. I'll judge based on God and the devil. Uh-huh. Is this good? Is it promoting love? You know, some programs are amazing. They're teaching about mathematics. They're teaching about calculus, all these exciting things, which is good. Mm-hmm. Then the other ones are teaching about wizardry. You know, you find them with these sticks. They're casting spells. They're really teaching you the basics of being a witch in mm-hmm. those other programs. So no to Sophia the First, no to Vampirina, because clearly they're teaching us how to be witches.
Okay.
That's really where
I think I get where Trevor is coming from.
Uh-huh.
I'll just like to say something. That I would like to point out, the devil cannot be compared to God. For me, it's not black and white. The devil is a created being, and you know, when the devil when he was cast out of heaven, was not cast out of heaven by God. He was cast out of heaven by another archangel of similar power. You know, so for me, God and the devil. It's billion light years. I don't, it's unexplainable. But I get the point of saying, so I think what people might be asking, and I think when I saw his post, I had a bit of a question, because I was thinking, what is God's music? Is God's music gospel? Is God, you know, I was a bit confused. I actually asked sincerely and said, can you give me clarity? What are you trying to say? Because I truly did not understand. So,
should I answer that? What is God's music?
Let's get everyone. Make sure we got everyone. We'll come back.
So I think people have genuine questions to say, when you're saying God's music, are you talking about instrumentals? Are you talking about lyrics? What makes it God's music or the devil's music? Is it the lyrics?
And
is it the instrumental? Is it... I would say, this is an opinion. I'm not saying I'm right. This is my opinion, Tinashe's opinion. I would say...
Not the Lord, but I.
So that will be clear. I think that at the end of the day, it's really lyrics that determine, whether in music something is bad or good. Because a C chord is a C chord. Whether it's played by someone who does not believe or it's played by someone who believes.
So you're saying that if music has got no lyrics, it cannot be evil, quote unquote.
Yes, I'll stand by that.
So no lyrics equals neutral.
I will stand by that because the words are the ones that carry the power. Like I'm saying, a C chord is a C chord. Whether it's played by a person who believes or it's played by a person who does not believe.
Let me ask this question, just as a curveball to that. Because I was going to leave a pin there. Let me just ask this. It doesn't have to be answered, but it's a question. So are you suggesting that if I listen to a Hindu song, I can't speak the language, so I don't know what they're saying? Therefore, I'm just hearing sounds. It is therefore completely clean.
You're saying a Hindu song with lyrics or without lyrics?
With the lyrics are there and they're speaking about Krishna or whatever.
No.
I just can't understand it.
When there are lyrics, I didn't say when someone does not understand it.
Yes, but you're suggesting that just sound, because there are lyrics that I don't understand, therefore I'm not comprehending. So then, is it bad?
Oh, is it... Oh, so you're drawing a line. I like the question. Can I answer the question?
You've gone forward, and I think it's actually different from what he's talking about. Mm. But I want to differ with him, because one of the things that I've seen with music is an instrumental can actually speak without music. If you watch movies, you should know that background music, whether you feel it or you hear it or you don't even listen to it, if you want to see the impact of that music, take a very powerful inspirational scene and remove that music and you see what happens. So it doesn't matter if it's an instrumental. There's an instrumental that will depress you and put you in a coma.
So that cannot be God's music. So in response to what you said, I disagree, because there can be instrumentals that can be very negative. There's just some things that just kill your spirit. So
can I answer him on that one?
Okay.
So this is the thing, right? The instrumental is determined by the quality of the chords. So you might be depressed because it's minor chords. The intention of putting the minor chords there was to make you feel sad. Like, he's talking about movies. So when movies are scripted, it depends with the scene and the moment and the emotion that wants to be, you know, the emotion that the instrumentalist or the composer wants to get.
I disagree with Big Tips.
Okay.
And this is where I disagree heavily. Uh-huh. I remember a couple of years ago, you remember Peter McKeown?
Uh-huh.
Yes, that fellow. Peter McKeown used to run the studio and used to say to me, Trems. So I was really beginning my early days. He says to me, Trems, there's this artist, Zimbabwean artist, very famous, but I won't mention his name. Says this guy, every time he would come into the studio, when he didn't have his hari and these things, he couldn't sing at all. But when he would bring his hari, he had this hari and these things, they would smoke the studio, he would sing perfectly. My point being that I think music is a medium that you can use to communicate things that are more than tangible things. So things like intent, things like, I personally believe, this is me, things like spirits, which we usually do in church. Before I lead worship, I lead worship at my church. When I want to see healings on that Sunday, I literally, with not even with the CD, because I won't be playing a CD in church, I literally kneel down and ask God, say, Lord, as I sing today and as I play, anoint my voice and anoint my playing so that it produces this kind of results. Then I go and play. What I'm asking for there is, because I know there's another realm that's at the high level. Same realm as music, actually. Because what is music? Music is this thing that we have on earth that just comes together by playing certain things, but just makes you feel things. We don't quite understand it. But I am able to transmit things through it. And I have tangible results of people saying, ish, when you were playing there, or when you were singing there, this happens. People fainted at MJ's shows. It shows you that there was more to it than just the chords. Because you can play those MJ chords, but
Tremor, can I also answer you on that? Yes. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Okay.
Right? So even let's say someone is not a believer, but it's good, it's perfect, it's coming from above. I like the statement that he said, where he said, you know, it's not about church, because sometimes God is even far away from church. So let's say Mozart, for example, or let's say some of the great composers, right? Who were not necessarily believers, but they were given this musical gift to be able to play in a way that, you know, creates emotion, that you listen to it and you're like, this is beautiful. The same way you can look at nature and be like, wow, this is beautiful. So if every good and perfect gift comes from above, and you're saying it's about the person who's making the music, I think for me, that's where I actually had an issue with his post. Not that I disagreed with it, but I had an issue with the issue of saying intentions, because now it's up to people, and now we're judging to say, if this person gives us this, then it's bad because it's been given by this. But who are we? You know, the Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Before his maker shall he stand or fall. So for me, and I think I agree with everything else Tremor is saying, except the fact where we're talking about the medium. Okay, this person, Antas Mashavi or whatever, but what if there's a point where in doing what he's doing, he's not being influenced by the Mashavis or whatever. And I'm just asking, it's a question, okay. I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Before we go, it sounds like you guys are actually kind of intersecting and agreeing somewhere.
Yes.
Initially, you were saying that instrumentals alone are fine. The lyrics is where the problem is. But then you've also cited an example where you're saying we're listening to Mozart and he's conveying something. So in that, you're saying, no, the instrumental is carrying something in itself. Where you seem to be disagreeing, just to reemphasize it before we move on to Temba, is the idea of judging intent. Yes. Am I to get that right? Yes. That is where you've got a bone to pick.
That is
so maybe we
correct.
Should come back to that as well. But you have a point.
I agree with you. It's a gift from God. The same way I'll give Sarah, for instance. Tremia can give Sarah a very nice doll to play with. But Sarah might not comprehend and take the doll and just throw it in the mud and in the dirt. It was a good thing that Sarah took and
abused
it. So that's the same thing. God can give me a good gift as a musician, but what do I do with the gift? I could be a gospel artist who's singing to get girls, and I can totally do that, and I can sing those.
Just out of interest, have you actually done that before?
Of course.
Okay.
It's actually a growth process in every musician.
Did you get them?
So the music that you make, let me ask something.
Do you want me?
Can I ask something?
I've got to share the numbers with you.
I've got a good person for Temba.
Yes.
The music that you made in that season, is it the devil's music?
No, it's not the devil's music. One thing that we need to understand is God can still use you even when you have bad intentions. Because you cannot stop what God wants to do because of your filthy nature. No, God will still do what he wants to do. He can use Nebuchadnezzar to bless this person to get to go and get wood, to go and build the temple. Because God wants a temple. So you will use even rocks to cry out. So he can still use me. The only problem comes to with me. I will have to deal with my heart. I will have to stand before God and be accountable for every good gift that he has given me. So in that season where I'm not there and I'm using his music for all the wrong reasons, God will still heal people.
So it's still his music.
It's still his music, but depending on what I put in there, there are some things that might not be his. There are some things that might be for my glory. For instance, I can be singing a worship song and then go put 2 minutes or 3 minutes of self-glory where I'm just ad-libbing for no good reason so that people can see how good I am a singer. I have left God's path, and it's not for God anymore. It's for me. You get what I mean? I don't know if that's clear.
Okay, I think that's kind of clear.
I think there's a bigger reality, which is the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a shadow of it in the natural realm. The realm above influences the realm here. The realm above can see the truth of the realm here. It's such that here, whatever happens, the realm above can really see the truth, which is why by faith you can say, as according to the Bible, to that mountain, very technical, be moved from there to there, and it will happen. Very technical. You don't need 10 bulldozers to do that when you're doing it by faith. So what you're doing is you're tapping into the realm of the spirit to move something in the natural. Same with music. Even though we're dealing with something that we are playing here,
mm-hmm.
but it can be used as a medium to tap into the realm of the spirit to accomplish things, some physical and some things spiritual.
Okay, so Trem, I wanna throw this one at you. You're a producer, and I'm sure you probably do commercial work as well.
Yes.
So if you're doing a commercial jingle,
yes.
for example, right, for a corporate client,
NetOne.
Yeah, well, I don't want to mention brands, but let's say you do a commercial jingle, right? Where does that fall into what we're discussing?
Oh, let's say I'm doing a jingle for Radiant Culture, that is so godly because it's gonna give me my money, and my family will have food in the house. And God is behind families eating food. God is behind me being rich.
I think God, you can be sure of that.
God wants me to be so rich, Kula, that you will open doors for me called work. God wants me to be so rich that when a jingle wants to pay me $1,000, God will move things there so that somehow you're getting paid $3,000. At church, they refer to it as breakthroughs. Those are real breakthroughs that they say God does in church.
Right.
So that is good use of God's music.
Okay.
Musicians should play music in the streets and be given money. They should play music in concerts as long as the values that they are promoting are God's values. Problem comes now. If the musician plays music and he's saying, sleep, let's say he's saying girls sleep around,
And then girls go out there, says, okay, kiss, girls kiss each other. You know, I kissed a girl and I liked it. And then the girls go around kissing each other and they're liking it. And eventually they find themselves as lesbians. Now, we've crossed the line. Because now the fruit that you're promoting or the results that you're promoting are not promoting God's values. Now that is abuse of music.
So Temba, you would agree there with the idea of the fruit and the fruit that being the values?
Exactly. I do agree with Trem now that he has explained it. When you put it out there on Facebook, I was a bit confused because it was a bit vague and I think he was fishing because it wasn't clear what exactly he was saying because there was a truth to it, but it also sounded like he had starting a jihad.
Can I say something about fruit?
Sure.
So I really like what has been said. I just think we need to be careful. I'm coming on the side of caution. I want to give a very biblical example. David, mm-hmm. when he had an adulterous affair mm-hmm. with Bathsheba, he was writing Psalms. And those Psalms are in the Bible as part of God's word. But at that time, the fruit of his actions was adultery, which is a work of the flesh, according to 1 Corinthians. You know, it tells us the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, and what. So I think we need to be careful. And I say this from the beginning. I think I've been clear from the beginning. I think we need to be careful with judging intentions because it is God who looks at the heart. So when we as men judge intentions, we get on a shaky...
No, Big T, but for me, what David did was wrong and God judged him for it. And there was no guessing whether God was going to judge him for it because God was clear with his laws. So David committed adultery and murder, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying so that time, the Psalms that he did that time so are they in the Bible? Out.
Can I finish?
Okay.
So this is what I'm saying. I'm saying I would be judging, if I was there, I would be judging what David did.
Okay.
I won't be judging David. Because I know David is a man, right? Here on earth. So he could have been wrong and then right the next second. He could even be better than me because I'm wrong and right sometimes. So it has nothing to do with David. But it has everything to do with what David is promoting.
Mm-hmm.
So in your writing of music, the Bible requires me to be very careful about what you're promoting. So if all your music is saying other people on top of other people, right? It's saying omunye, pezu omunye. If your music is saying
is that
sleep
what it means?
Around, yes. That, if your music is saying, right?
Let's mark that track, bro.
Then it's clear what the music is speaking about. And it's clear how, as a believer, I should treat that music. Because that music is teaching me what is not godly. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I should go around and say, hey, the producer of that song or the singer of that song is wrong. No.
Okay, so you'd hear many Christians arguing, or maybe the most staunch ones, saying that when a secular, and I think that's a whole different discussion we should get into, when a secular artist then does a gospel song, which happened several times quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
So that song coming from that person whose intents we know are usually on the wrong side, then does a very powerful, moving song or album. I mean, I was a big fan of what's
when
his name?
When Jesus says,
wonderful stuff.
Say no.
That's music, if I'm to go with what you're saying, Trem, is therefore vindicated because the message of that particular song is fine. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, for the person who's listening to that song, I've heard counter arguments. I actually argued with someone recently and they were saying, no, what about all the other songs on the album? I'll be like, hey, me, the one I heard and the one that I liked, because I can't stop myself from seeing people kissing each other out there. But the important thing is that when I see them, what do I do about it? So when I listen to the song, if it's when Jesus says yes, no one can say no. That is so biblical. Yes, I'll love it and I'll enjoy it. But if the next one is saying, slip around, that is not biblical. So let's switch off that one.
Yeah.
Because we are to judge what comes into this temple.
Yeah. So exactly, right. Like I was also one of the critics that was very against having a secular artist do gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a tendency of personalizing God and making him into something of my own. But then I understood one thing, that if I can get a nganga to praise God for 1 minute, I've done well. So that's how I see it now. And I've had time to actually look at it, and I'd beef with the Tasha Cobbs Nicki Minaj song. Mm. It was a hot topic when it came out, and I was one of those people that was actually hard on that. But then I realized that if Tasha Cobbs could get someone like Nicki Minaj to come and worship God and not say anything contrary to what the word says on a song, I think that's a plus. It's a win. Because what they are doing is they're putting things that we don't agree with in programs that were supposed to be supposedly family programs, to make it very difficult for Tremier to watch something with Sarah, because he now has to vet everything. When we were watching cartoons back then, it was very simple. There was Captain Planet who wanted to save the planet from pollution.
See, that's magic. Captain Planet rings totems. No, I'm just throwing it in there.
No, that's things have been taken to a whole other level.
Stop it. Leave Captain Planet out of this. So that my point being, like I was saying, when we need to judge the fruit, uh-huh, and sometimes not the vessel. We need to allow the vessel to grow. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. Uh-huh. And sometimes the person you are judging because you are now in A level is still in grade one. And you want them to solve complex equations that they have never heard of. So let's allow them to grow. If Nicki Minaj has made a step to actually do a gospel song, let's applaud her. Glory and let's encourage her to do better, so we to like do that good. One. We need to love that one. We need to buy that one so much that she looks at it and says, you know what, like I think I need to do more of this and less of that. So I think that's where we're losing it. And we need to redefine how we judge certain things. And we need to stop judging people and actually look at the fruit. If something produces a good fruit, and if the person has issues, let's find a way of discipling them to get them to where we want them. The women, the Mary Magdalene and the alabaster box, when she came, she was still a prostitute, but the intention was right. The disciples looked at a prostitute coming close to Jesus, and they wanted to chase her away. But Jesus saw that this was the beginning of something good. And that encouragement, Jesus saw the king in her and encouraged that. And that's how Mary Magdalene was the first one to get to the tomb to see that Jesus had risen. So going back to this whole issue, what determines what music it is the fruit. If 1 + 1 = 2 is in a song and it helps my child learn math and grow their mind, it is good. But if it's leading my daughter to wear shorter clothes and a case around, then that is not good. So if we look at things that way, we can progress as Christians. But if we put a hard stance to say, this one is holy and this one is profane, then we will be shocked maybe when you get to heaven. The holy one was a hypocrite, and the profane one is the one that repents at the end, right next to Jesus on the cross, and gets forgiven and goes to heaven. So we need to look at these things objectively.
I have an interesting question. You are saying it's the fruit, right? Mm. So for someone who's listening to a variety of songs, how do we know which seed was sown? Because you're seeing the fruit, but someone is listening to 100 musicians or 100 instrumentalists. How? Because you're saying by the fruit, how do we know the seed that was sown if we're going to judge what is God's music and what is the devil's music based on the fruit?
We're going to judge it based on many things. One of them being the fruit. The other one being what the song is actually saying, right? A good example, if the song is saying kill, 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 kill them, mother, kill, kill, then we don't need to wait for the fruit, because this person has told us what he wants us to do. So
there it's clear. We know. Well, I'm not judging.
That's actually the fruit. That's the fruit we are talking about. Right? Because the emotion and the what it leads you to.
Yes.
Does it lead you to want to worship God more? That it does it leave you in a place where you want to find someone who's poor and want to help them? That, or it does it leave you in a place where you want to rob everyone, kill somebody, abuse women, say obscene things and things like that? Those are the fruits we're talking about. What does the song influence you to do?
And the other one, the New Testament says he has put his law in our hearts. So ultimately, when you listen to it, when you're not clear, when he hasn't given it out in the lyrics, and you have no time to wait and see the fruit, then that's when you listen to your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether you should be listening to it or not.
Okay.
That's how we
So are you saying it is up to an individual's conscience? Or what then? Because
no, up to, I've given you three, I can give you a fourth one. So right now, I'm saying it's up to these three. Up to judging, using the spirit heart. That's already in you. Number two, judging using what the person is telling you they want you to do. Then number three, judging using the fruit that this person wants his song to produce.
And also the word of God.
Yes. Weigh all those things against the word of God. That's what I'm
okay.
saying.
And what of things like movie scores, for example, right? There's some movies that, okay, that are made, let's say you've got people like Hans Zimmer and I love Hans Zimmer, right? I don't know if Hans Zimmer is a Christian. But there's some composers that we don't really know that they're Christian. It could even be someone who's a producer, composer, who's not really a Christian. But what they're outputting is not necessarily profane. It's just, because I mean, Hans Zimmer just does those Hans Zimmer things. So we don't really know whether they're holy, whatever. What of that?
For me, my standard towards those things is, let's not approach them with the mind to judge them. Let's approach them with the mind to protect ourselves. Because I exist as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not here to say that is wrong, that is good, that is what. I'm just here to make sure that what's coming into me is good in terms of music. When I'm looking at music and movies and programming on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to say Hans Zimmer is bad or Hans Zimmer is good. As long as Hans Zimmer does something that I like and makes me enjoy my music or enjoy my reading of the Bible, I'll love it. But if Hans Zimmer does a horror score, which I saw recently, one that he did, just listening to it creeped me out. I won't listen to that one. It does not make Hans Zimmer a bad guy, but that particular one didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Something in my spirit just didn't agree with that one. But guess what? When I listened to the one that he did on that other movie that was nice, I was like, it's amazing. I enjoyed it.
Can I ask about...
Can I say something on that? Okay. I like... Oh, where is this going? I hope I'm not taking too much time. I think, and I said this at the beginning, the devil and God are worlds apart. And I think sometimes as Christians, we are afraid of things that God has no issue with, per se. So I think sometimes you then have a mentality where you're now afraid. You're no longer secure because you're just thinking, oh, if I listen to this, am I going to go to hell? Or is it going to do this to me? As much as we are led by the Spirit, but also we're not, it's not fear. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't be driven by fear. To fear that what can this music do to me? Yes, let's be careful. The Bible says do not be, you know, ignorant of the wiles of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very aware that there's an enemy. But we have to have balance where we are not being afraid of everything and being extremists, so to say.
Okay.
But let's be led by the Spirit and led by love, which casts out fear. So it shouldn't be coming from a position of fear. I would say if you start fearing, something is wrong. It shouldn't come from, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to listen. I've listened to this. I'm going to lose my salvation. I've listened to this. I'm going to go the wrong way. For me, that's something I'll just like to add.
Let me ask on that fear question, sort of indirectly, and bring in another element. You mentioned scores for film and TV. I'm going to talk about something else I enjoy personally. I'm sure everybody enjoys this to some extent. and that is the remix. So we've had occasion where you might get a Christian musician. Let me not say gospel because we haven't even defined where that goes. But a Christian musician, he wants to sing things that promote godliness and so on. And he gets a quote unquote secular instrumental. Where does that then fall in? Like I listened to this guy, his name was Etiz. I don't think he's still there. He's a Christian hip hop artist. And he did a mixtape. And as is the case with most mixtapes, people just get beats from wherever they get them. And he made one using a lot of Kanye music, sort of as the beat. But then everything he said was very, very biblical, extremely so. If you listened to it, he was kind of countering what maybe the original version of the song would be saying. So where does that kind of music fall into it? Where maybe they take something from the secular realm and then, because a lot of Christians talk about recapturing or converting or cleansing what's in the secular world. So yeah, I want to know where that is.
I've heard that before. Yeah. I think Christians are just being lazy. Mm-hmm. Just compose a song, guy. Dude, just find a good producer. Tremia is here. Go to Tremia. He will make good beats for you. You don't need to borrow Kanye West beats for you to make a good song. So there's nothing
running away from the question.
I'm going there. So the question is, this guy took Kanye West beats and did something good with it.
Yeah.
And called it redeeming it.
Mm. But well, he didn't say that, but I'm just saying other people.
Other people would say that. Yeah. So when you, there's a website that sells beats that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone there to shop for beats at one point. They describe every instrumental. There is inspirational, there's dark, there is
African,
there is ethnic, they describe every instrumental. And there are some that you can see that this description just says this thing is bad. And even when you listen to it, there's just, you feel that there's something wrong with this sound. So they are instrumentals like that. And then there's instrumentals that it was already an inspirational instrumental that was used by Kanye West. It doesn't change that it's an inspirational instrumental that was done by someone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that and put gospel lyrics to it, it's still an inspirational instrumental that brings out an inspirational song. That when we listen to the song, what is the fruit? The only problem sometimes is when I am someone that has listened to those Kanye West songs,
mm-hmm.
and you take that instrumental that you know that the most popular song by that instrumental is that Kanye West song that kisses around and does this and does this, and then you sing your gospel on it. There is a high chance that I might be singing Kanye West lyrics on top of your gospel song because that's what it reminds me of. So there's always that danger. But that's now up to the musician. God has not told me to do that, and he has told me not to do that. I stand corrected. It's not my place. I don't know what where he got. If he got that from God, maybe God had an intention with him to do something. So I can't really judge him on what he did. But there's always that danger that if you pick a song, if you pick, take the instrumental of I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, and you sing a gospel song, I Praised My God and I Like It, there's a chance that I might be singing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It on top of your gospel song. Okay. So that's where I would draw the line is just write your own lyrics and stay away from these things. Because if you have a song that you have to defend every day, there's a problem, bro.
Okay. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. It takes us back to instruments and lyrics. I've got a question there. I agree with everything he said. I'm not particularly one to listen to Kanye West, so I don't know. But it goes back to it. So what are we saying? Are we saying it's the lyrics that make it right or wrong? Are we saying, because I'm still not clear on that one. I haven't been convinced with the answers I'm getting concerning lyrics and instrumentals. Because I'm saying a C chord is a C chord. So you can listen to a certain progression and it sounds like something. But it's a progression. Progressions are similar, and sometimes people will hear Sten's song and say, "Ah, this song sounds like this. Oh, this song sounds like this." So, can you clear that for me? Because to be honest, I don't have clarity. Instrumentals versus lyrics. What makes it?
Is maybe first with that one. I agree with you, Temba. Mm-hmm. I think what Temba says is so amazing. And for me, my standard with that is, if you go to a restaurant where there are naked girls serving lunch, mm-hmm. we're not saying you're going to have lustful thoughts when you're there. But if you don't want to have lustful thoughts, it's wise not to go to that restaurant. So you catch my drift. Uh-huh. So my drift is with those songs. I don't know whether you're going to have lustful songs when you're listening to them. How about let's not go to that restaurant? That way we'll stay away. And I think that's more of the attitude that God wants us to have towards the things of life. The attitude of us avoiding sin at all costs and things that would make us sinful. It doesn't matter whether they are nice, because the nature of sin is that it's nice. Mm-hmm. If you're unmarried, sleeping with your boyfriend is nice, because mm-hmm. sex was made inherently nice. But because it's nice doesn't make it right.
Since they're all good. Since we're all guys, and you should have said go.
Exactly.
Well, these days. Then back to Tinashe. If you listen to a heavy metal singer sing a C note,
I was about to say the same thing.
And then listen to an orchestral singer sing a C note right now, and then listen to a gospel singer sing a C note right now, they all invoke so different emotions. So a C chord is not a C chord. A C chord is sung in a certain way by design, so that it invokes a certain thing. Emotion. So the singer, or you'll find me even in studio, someone will sing, "Jesus, I love you." I'll be like, "I'm not feeling like you love Jesus." Just approach it differently. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to improve the intent, the transmission of the message. Because if they don't sing it nicely, everyone who's listening will be like, this person doesn't really love Jesus.
So is it the chord or the lyric?
No.
That's doing it.
It's everything. It's the note that's being sung. It's how it's being sung. It's the intent behind the singing of it.
So from what I'm hearing you guys say, it seems to me like this is not a simple yes and no type situation, or black and white type situation. It's more of a, what do you call it? I guess situation by situation mm-hmm. type thing, where you can't necessarily make a blanket statement or have a blanket stance that says music like this is bad,
yes,
and music like that is good,
yes,
period. Which is what tends to happen with many people, with many mm-hmm. churches even, right? Where mm-hmm. we're like, this person is bad because of A, B, they had a divorce. And now because they divorced their wife, they're now bad. Let's stop doing their music or whatever, right? What I'm hearing more is you've got to be careful. You've got to be wiser. You've got to be prudent. And the word I'm looking for is vigilant.
Yeah.
Right, about each situation, because it's not all the same. Now, you guys are all musicians. And I would like to know that as musicians, as Christian musicians, do you also believe that it's possible for a Christian musician, born again, to lead people astray?
Definitely.
Or to do the devil's music, quote unquote?
Definitely. Definitely. I would say, depending with theology, like there are certain people who claim to be gospel singers, but their music is not theologically accurate. Let's say, I'll give an example. Let's say a song, but I won't give an example of a song, but just a song that promotes law when we're now living by grace. I would say that is leading people into bondage when Jesus came to put people into grace. So I would say they are gospel artists who can do music that actually leads people away from God.
Okay. I agree with him, but the problem with that is if we try to then judge those people, the problem is we run the risk of actually, like what Tremia was saying, is Jesus in his time, he did so many
technically, when we look at them now, if I was to say I've seen a blind person and just spit in his eyes, the people would look at me funny.
Mm-hmm. Hygiene, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just
that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, but my point is things that are not.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Where I'm going with this is, let's be careful that in our process of picking these musicians,
mm-hmm.
we might end up picking some that are actually good.
Temba, can you actually say, let's not pick?
Yeah.
It's not our place.
Let's leave the picking.
Time for picking will
let's,
come.
Let's leave the picking to
it's
because
not the time.
Because Jesus gave us a parable and said, a sower went and sowed wheat.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, the enemy came and sowed tares. And then when they grew, they saw that amongst the wheat there were tares.
Mm-hmm.
Then the servant said, Master, should we uproot the tares? He said, No. We'll see it when harvest comes. Because right now, we might end up uprooting the wheat thinking it is tares.
Uh-huh.
So we run the risk of thinking that Tinashe, because he has dreadlocks, he is not a gospel artist enough because he doesn't have this cool haircut that I have. Yeah, by the way, I have a cool haircut.
My papa's number is 777.
So you see, people will just look and say, I think this one is wheat, this one is tear.
Uh-huh.
But that's not our place because we are not the harvester.
Wow, that's good.
The harvester will come and say, you were a tear, you were wheat. But that's not our place. We are just the servants that cannot pick between the what? The tares and the wheat. So let's leave that. If there is an artist that I might disagree with, I might go to them and say, my brother, I don't understand when you do 1, 2, 3, 4. Explain it to me because I'm sensing that it might not be what I think it is. But it is not my place to go on Facebook and say, Tremia is not godly. That song was not right. And all these things. That is not my place. I need to run away very fast from there. Because
Temba, I just have a question for you.
Mm.
Would you agree with me? I'm going to throw one.
Mm-hmm.
If I said, I think many Christians are not handling music carefully. By that I mean, I feel like just this is me, not mm-hmm. Bible, mm-hmm. not Jesus, not anyone. Just me. I feel like many Christians play around with the world's music.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why at times it manifests in bad things in our lives. Is it influencing us to do bad things?
That's true.
In our lives. Mm-hmm. Because we're not careful with the music that we play around.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I'm trying to lead to the point that I don't think Christians should listen to devil's music. Devil's music being music that promotes anything that's not godly.
Uh-huh.
That was part of my main point on my Facebook post.
Mm-hmm.
There's God's music leading to God's things. There's the devil's music leading to the devil's things.
So in other words, you're saying, because this was actually going to be my last question
mm-hmm.
to the three of you about secular music, right? Or worldly music.
Yes.
And by that, I mean music that is not explicitly talking about God or Jesus. It's not music that we would praise God to or yes. with, and did it. But, so when you say Christians are playing around with music that's not God's music, I'm assuming you're talking about does this include? In fact, let me just backtrack.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, you can jump in.
When you say godly music, I'm trying to get to the heart of this because I think I get it, and I want our listeners to make sure they're also understanding it. When you say godly music, it's not necessarily a church song. It's not like a ballad or whatever coming from a particular ministry or something. It's a song, or godly just means anything pointing to the principles and things that God espouses. Mm-hmm. They can be sung by someone who does not know anything about church, but it has those things. That is what you're categorizing as godly.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything that isn't that then becomes
yes.
devil music.
Is according to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm saying whenever you are playing with anything that is not godly, you have to be careful. We have to be very careful because our attitude, because God is a jealous God. I think the God that I serve as a Christian is a very jealous God. He doesn't want anyone playing with satanic things because satanic things lead to sin, which leads to death. For the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying in music, if the music promotes lust, it leads to lust. If the music promotes death, it leads to death. If the music promotes, it's like if you play video games, that's a good example. If you play video games where you're always shooting, 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 it's programming you to shoot, 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 shoot. If you are playing, so the result is shoot, shoot, shoot.
I play Street Fighter. Anyway,
I like Mortal Kombat.
So yeah, I definitely agree with him. I'm one of those person people who's very liberal.
Uh-huh.
I've in my collection, you might find a few questionable songs, and I'm really working on that because I've seen that there is a tendency of programming me towards doing certain things. Like there are things that I've music that leads me to go searching for girls on Instagram. True story.
Yeah.
That happens. So you need to know your weaknesses. The word says we are not tested by the devil, we're tested by our own lustful desires. So there are some desires that we have. Secular music is fun. I need to tell you this. Because there is a certain excitement that comes with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when you listen to secular music, of course you're going to get excited when you see those naked girls and funny things that happen. It excites you because it's sin. It's so and it's close. It's so it appeals to the soul. Uh-huh. That's where I wanted to go. And we are soulish beings, so we need to find music that feeds our spirit, man. Because whatever is good, whatever is of good report, whatever is praiseworthy,
Philippians 4.
Whatever is lovely,
meditate yeah. on these things.
That's good.
So we need to know the things that we meditate on. And sometimes this music, if you follow it, you might end up having a full collection of lust, I want to sleep with you, take off your clothes, smoke some weed, all those things in your collection. And the next thing you just find yourself, you're leading worship and in the middle you're like, Jesus, baby, or something.
Remind me of a clip I saw.
Can I ask, this is actually for all three, would you agree or disagree with this statement? I've heard it before, and that is, the opposite of godly isn't secular. It's sinful.
Profane.
Or profane.
Uh-huh.
So secular isn't the opposite. We always say there's godly and there's secular, but they're saying that no secular is
the
not
reason
the
reason why we call it secular is because it has no bounds. You can sing about God today. You can sing about shoes. You can sing about your girlfriend. You can sing about this desk. It has no boundaries. That's why we've called it secular music. You're just there. We call it God. You're a gospel singer because you are bound by the gospel, and the stuff that you sing has certain principles that you follow. The reason why we call the other music secular is there are no rules. Today you can sing I like my room, or you can say my shoes are so nice, or my car is so nice, or my girlfriend is hotter than yours, or something. There are no rules, so it's secular. That's why they call it that.
Yes.
Concerning secular, and I think it is safe to say the opposite of godly is not like secular. Like, if you're putting it black and white,
yeah.
You say we've got gospel, which is God's, and we've got secular, which is the devil's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I would say that, but this is my opinion. Because my point was that some, like I said, music is a gift, and God gives gifts to people. The same way that he has made some inventors and whatever, and they're making stuff for us. But some of these people are not even born again. But they're making things for us from God. So I think we need to be careful, because I will say, when I got born again, I was one of those people. I stopped listening to secular music totally. Because, mm-hmm. And I was so afraid, because, you know, I came from that legalistic point of view, and I would bank entertainment at school, despite the fact that entertainment was compulsory. I would bank entertainment and pray, because I'm thinking, I don't want to be part of secular, because it's the devil's thing. But as I grew in the things of God, I started to understand, like, that protected me from a lot, and I'm actually glad I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to understand that there are certain things, right? So, for example, what Tremi was saying, there's a Bube song which promotes marriage, for example,
mm-hmm.
Man and wife.
right? That song is promoting the values of God. So I would say it's not like gospel and secular.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Cool. Drem?
It's not gospel and secular. It's Christian versus Satan.
Okay.
So it's God, godly music and devilish music. Those are the two opposites. Actually, my closing remark would be 1 John 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think the way John sums it up there is just profound. And it's so challenging because like there are movies that I love, there are songs that I love, but he's telling me that the world and I, the love must.
Authorities.
Yeah, and I don't think it's an overnight thing.
Yeah.
I think my heart should be to say, Lord, I want to please you and I want to listen to things that please you. And you know what? You know how long I've listened to this music. So I'm going to be trying to snip it. The moment I hear sex and lust, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going good. To take me a while.
That's good.
Big T, closing remarks?
I'd say my closing remarks is let us be led by the Spirit. This was a very good learning thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there is certain music that, you know, we don't even need to ask ourselves. We know that there's certain music we shouldn't be listening to. Like it's not an issue of law. Like you can hear that this music, I'm listening to it, but even when you listen to it, your heart beats and the Lord tells you, don't listen to that. So I'll just say my closing remarks is let us be led by the Spirit, not fear, not bondage, because, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
That's good.
Yeah. I really admire that your heart beats when you listen to a song. That's
cool. You become numb. Yeah. You're not beating
anymore. I can't this beat.
No, I think one of the things that I think my last remarks would be, I think let's not take, we're not called by God to be judges, we're called to be witnesses. So we need to witness the love of Christ to the people around us. And the best way we do it is not by attacking people, but is by loving them. So the only way we can win this, I've seen that there are some Christian platforms where they've put hard and fast rules and says, if you don't sing, you rap on a beat, then you are of the devil. And then you are cast out. But there's a song by Lacrae that really touched my heart. He explains about this guy who's not praying anymore.
You listen to hip-hop.
Okay. I need to finish this line. So he says, Lord, help. I'm praying for my friend. He doesn't pray anymore. He doesn't respect his wife anymore. He doesn't come to church anymore. He doesn't read the word as much as he should. And at the end of the song, you know what he says? He said, Lord, this person is me.
Wow.
It was such a profound thing, because one, it really spoke to me, because sometimes I go to church and I hear sermon and I think this sermon is really good for Kuda. I wish Kuda was here.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes I forget to look at me, and sometimes I'm that guy. So it really ministered to me and it changed me. So when I look at even someone who because sometimes some people are not vocally gifted like me, and I'm not the one who has to deprive them of their worship to God because they do poems on a beat, which is different from what I do. So one of the things that I've said is, what is the fruit? So everything that I listen to is, what fruit is it producing in me? Is it making me more lustful, or a better father, or a better brother, or a better a teacher, or mentor, or disciple, or what is it bringing in me? If it draws me closer to God, then those are the things that I need to meditate on. So that Philippians 4 scripture is what I keep to heart. Good. Is this good? Is this praiseworthy? Is this of good note? Is this something I need to meditate on? So those will be my closing remarks.
Wow. Thanks, Temba.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. And I would just like to actually categorically state that, you know, the three of you are all people that I personally highly respect because of the work that you're doing in music, and you're all walking in your own paths. And I would say that, you know, I think this discussion has been good because it's brought a lot of things to light. And it's also brought a lot of clarity to the post that you made on Facebook, Trem. And, you know, to our listeners, I think I would also add that I think we should really be motivated by our love for God, if anything. You know, just learning to say, you know what, Lord, teach me to love you more. Because if we learn to love God more, we become more and more conscious of the things that take us away from that love. But if we then make it about rules and we make it all legalistic and we become regimented in certain areas, I think we can end up just becoming Pharisees, Pentecostal Pharisees or something. But we don't really end up achieving the goal, which is to love God. So I think this has been a very good discussion. Biscuit.
No, I agree. Totally agree. I wouldn't want to take anything from that point. I guess I'll just add and echo something Temba said earlier, which is let's not personalize God too much. He's big. He's like really, really big. And I have a hard time believing that the creator of the universe and the cosmos and everything is limited to one style of anything.
To Hillsong.
Yeah, one way of doing it to anything.
So, that's Paul.
If your guitar is not a tailor, you're not working.
So yeah,
what about my
let's keep that in mind and
the
focus on
and
love.
Classical
right?
stuff.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a very good point. Okay, so with that, and as always, as we say on Radio and Culture, that, you know, the goal of us having these discussions is for us to trigger thought, for us to point each other to the truth. And so if you have questions, you know our Facebook page, go to Radio and Culture, and just post on there. We want to have these discussions happening. And I'm sure if you want to contact any one of these guys personally, you can find them somewhere. They're all very active on social media. But let's grow together. Let's seek the truth, and let's become better Christians. Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We're out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.